Good evening. This is way different than what I thought that it is going to be because Adam said, January is pretty quiet usually, and we probably get a couple bunch of people, and so I thought I'll be just preaching to probably 10 of you guys, but yeah, it's in multiply, which is great. Shall we start and let's pray together and let's make a start. Father God, we thank you for these great opportunities that we can gather together tonight. And I pray that the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable to you and be an encouragement to all who hears it. Amen. If the Lord wishes, I will leave and preach here and there. That's what I will say from today's passage. Now, I'm not sure about how you guys usually do things here. So if I have done or say anything that offended your tradition here, please forgive me. And please help me to know how to get to know you guys better too. So today we are looking into making plans differently. Now, I'm not sure how you guys make plans, but my life is full of change plans. I was born in Taiwan, and some of you have probably heard a bit of my story. I'm going to make it into a very short version. I was born in Taiwan and grew up in my father was a medical doctor. I live in some of you probably heard my story during the camp, almost like a home prison for the first six years of my primary school, because the circumstances in Taiwan was a bit different. Parents decided to move to Australia when I was in year one. My very oldest brother moved to Australia. When I was in year five, my second oldest brother moved to Australia. When I was in year six, I moved to Australia. So in my life is full of changes and full of different things happening. When I first arrived in Australia, I have no idea how to speak English. I have to learn the new language. So that was out of my plan, I think. I never thought that I'll go overseas and learn a new language. So if any of you think, English is your first language and forever your own language, you know, be prepared. Maybe God is calling you to another place. And then obviously I settled in Australia, and my plan was just to grow up safely and don't get into too much trouble. First half of my life after I graduated from uni, I work as a music therapist, and playing changes again. It was awful. Well, to me, it was awful because when I was only 20 years old and seeing people dying almost every second day, wasn't happy. So I decided that I want to move on and do something more constructive. So I moved into education. So I started to teach music, and I feel like that is something for me really, because I want to see something positive every day and, life-changing. And guess what? Life changed again. The plane changed again. 2007, 8-ish, there was a minister encouraged me to think about, hey, why don't you go and have a think about what ministry is like? Well, there's no harm to think about it. 2014, another minister invited me to be more involved with ministry. Yeah, okay, well, that's all right. 2019, plane change again. I was thinking about my music career, and I thought, there's no harm to serve God at the same time. 2019 was a crucial time where all my plan went out of the window. When I say out of the window is at the end of 2018, I had this issue in my spine where I can't move my left hand at all. And I couldn't even lift up a book, let's say. So the plan changed. I can't play my violin anymore. And I thought, so I had to pray to God, oh God, please help me. If I can get better, I'll serve you with my whole heart. And guess what? This is human. Now, 2019, I started to feel better. And the moment I just felt like, oh, I can go and do my plans now. Everything just wind back 3 months, and I just feel like I'm totally out of action again. So my life is full of changing plans. So when it comes to making plans differently, I think I'm pretty good at it. So today we're gonna look through the scripture of James, and then we want to see the passage that we read, and then we want to see how we what we can get out of it. And I encourage you guys to walk with me as we go through the passage. As we are the body of Christ, and we are here to build each other up. So along the way, I might ask some questions, so feel free to answer, be part of it. And so don't just sit there and listen to my dry talking for the next 20 minutes. See that I'm an Asian, and my mom always said, take things very serious. So you probably have Asian friends and they always take things very serious, isn't it? Well, that's who we are. Now, I might ask some questions to start with. So raise your hand if you do plan your everyday, at the start of the day or the day before. Cool, all right. What about weekly planning? Yeah, monthly planning? What about yearly planning, like Kane? Kane said his diary is almost filled up already. Well done on you, well done. And who have planned to your very last day of your life already? Probably not. Now, and I want to ask you about what is the most thing that you put into your consideration when you do your planning? Now, you can just shout it out, that's fine. Anybody? Don't be shy. My priority of my consideration is always, am I able to do it or not? So what's your one? Anybody? Don't be shy. Sorry? What else? What else? Oh, the other things that you're doing. Yep. Cool. Anyone else? Energy. Energy is important. Yep. Anyone else? One last one. Last chance.
Getting rest as well.
Cool. Brilliant. Next question. I got a lot of questions to ask. Now, how many of you have received your KPI or OKR from your work, from your boss, or has anyone have done some kind of self-assessment to assess yourself? Yeah? Put your hand up, you have? Yeah? Cool. Even I have. Great. Now, the last question is, how many of you stick to your plan? Put your hand up. Nobody. Oh, God. At least there's a few of us. Yeah, of course. Now, some simple answers when I look up online, why do we need to plan? And some simple answers. Oh, sorry about the overheads. I had some technical issue and I lost everything. Anyway, so when I look up online, why do you need to plan? And some simple answer says, allow yourself to set a goal. Secondly, it says, reduce uncertainty. Third, it says, eliminates waste. Four, it promotes innovation, improves decision-making, increases motivation, help you to grow, earns the trust of others, and provides a competitive edge. Wow, that's a lot, isn't it? So planning is important. Now, I agree that all these are important, and most of us would have learned how to plan already, and it is important how to plan. So I'm not here to sell you a diary today, all right? Don't get me wrong. I'm not here to sell you planning plans. But I pray that we are here to look through and to think through what the Bible is telling us of what are we putting into our consideration when we plan. And perhaps that'll help us to plan differently as we go. So the first thing that I want to say is only the master has the plan. Who is the master? Ourself? My dad? My parents? No. Who has the plan? The master has the plan. God has the plan for you and me. So in these few verses, as we start off from chapter 4, verse 13, that we read, come now, you who say today or tomorrow that we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and doing business and making some money. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. The question for you is, who can guarantee you that you wake up tomorrow? We often plan that, you know, my dear wife often plan, you know, I'm going to wake up 6:30 tomorrow and I'm going to start to do exercise. And guess what? Hey, it's 7:30, are you going to get up? It's easy to say, but hard to do, isn't it, sometimes? Easy to plan, but hard to fulfill. But what James is urging the readers here is that we are to reconsider the way that we approach our plans. As planning is a natural aspect of our life, James urges us to recognize the fragility of our existence and the uncertainties that accompanies. In the eternity of God's timeline, our life is just like a mist, appearing briefly and then disappearing. And so in the face of this uncertainty, our plan should be rooted in humility and submission to God's sovereignty. Some of you might say, why should I do that? Well, who enjoys being efficient and effective? Put your hand up. All of you do. Great, great. Well, then you're in the right place. I always say to people, you don't have to do, you know, anything if you don't want to do it, because God don't force us to do anything. But if you want to live a meaningful, effective, and efficient life, then you need to start to take this serious, because the Master has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. Verse 15 reminds us, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wishes, we will live and do this or that. And continues on verse 16 and 17, further emphasize the importance of humility in planning, stating, as it is, you boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Arrogance in our planning, boasting about ourselves, our perceived control over the future, is denounced by God. Instead, that we are called to approach planning with a humble acknowledgement of our dependence on God and to do the things that is right in the sight of God. Since I was young, I always remember this verse. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path. It is a nature that we rely on ourselves, isn't it? First thing that when we run into trouble, what do? Especially for young people nowadays, what do? We Google it. Right? I had some technical issue with my computer just last couple of weeks. First thing I do is Google it. You know? But the thing is, have we ever thought of, maybe I should just be patient and then come into the presence of the Lord first? Of course, small things, go to Google, it's fine. But when it comes to the, you know, life, you know, a matter of life thing, turn to God. Let him be in control. And so as we make plans, we are reminded that God holds the ultimate authority over our plans. The Master has the master plan. Our plans should be a reflection of our reliance. I'll say again, our reliance on him. Seeking his guidance and aligning our goals with his divine purpose in you, as God holds the master plan for you and me. Secondly, I want to urge us to consider other people in your plan as well. I know as we are planning things, like Ken said, you know, he filled up his ear already. Put others in your plan as well. Put your hand up if you think of the other people who might be involved when you do some planning and how that might affect them. Good. Great. I like to use another illustration, as in when you guys go to shopping at a supermarket, do you pay attention to the label or do you just go for the cheapest option? Don't be shy. I go for the cheapest option. Well, for years, I've been doing that. You know, when I was younger, I choose the cheapest option. And my excuse, of course, is because I was a poor young man and I don't have any pocket money. Since I was in, year 8, I started to make my own pocket money by playing violin, go to events. But later, I realized that some of the cheapest products were the result of labor exploitation. And I can't say that I check label every time now, but I do consider whether some of the products is a result of mistreatment of workers. And thanks to Kane, you know, he's very aware of this kind of stuff. He always remind me and say, hey, do you know this brand and that brand? You know, I got to watch out. Yeah. Thank you, Kane. So considering others are very important in our planning. Now, as we start the next chapter, chapter 5, James directs our attention to the significance of considering others in our plans that we can learn from today. He issues a stern warning against the misuse of wealth and the exploitation of others for personal gain. Come now, you rich people, weep and wail for the miseries that are coming to you. Your riches have rotted and your clothes and are eaten. Your gold and silver have rusted and their rust will be evidence against you and it will eat your flesh like fire. Very often in our plans, we misuse our power. Some of us might say, well, I didn't do any of those. But like the example that I give just now, very often we are part of the bigger social group that mistreated people who are in labor. Now, this passage highlights the consequences of pursuing plans solely for our personal gain, without regards for the well-being of others. It serves as a powerful reminder that our plan should be rooted in justice, righteousness, and a consideration for the need of those around you and me. The pursuit of wealth at the expenses of others is condemned. But it's a value of our society nowadays. And this issue is not just something that have happened in the time of James. Since the time of Old Testament until today, this issue still exists. If you are familiar with the Old Testament, the social injustice was one of the key disappointments to God's great plan for humanity. And so in the book of Micah, chapter 6, we'll find some answers. What does God want us to do? He says, what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. So as we think about how we can make our plans differently, can I encourage that all of us to have think about how we can prioritize a selfless and a compassionate approach when we do our planning. Our plan should not be benefits us, but should also be contributing positively to the lives of other people. Consideration for the welfare of the community, both materially and also spiritually as well. It should be an integral part of our planning progress. When you're planning something, do you ever think about how can I help this next person to me to grow spiritually as well? or are we just feeding their empty stomachs? And that is the master plan and the purpose of our existence as a Christians, as a follower of Jesus. Have I went over the time already? If you allow me another 5 minutes, I'll finish it off quickly. Lastly, I want to say is, what is the greatest plan? The greatest plan is patiently waiting for the Lord. Now, since I was young, I have a very strange worldview of what I'm looking for in my life. Now, since I was young, I'm not saying I'm that old now. I'm still pretty young. Now, when I was about year eight, I asked my father, what is life all about? Now, because he was a psychiatrist, and I thought he might have the answer. And he, apart from being a psychiatrist, he was also a priest as well. So I thought maybe I'll ask him, and then I'll get some, you know, real cool answer and, you know, sort of like a lighthouse where I can just go for it. And he went silent for probably more than 3 minutes, and he asked me, are you okay? Well, because he's a psychiatrist, so you probably think I'm a bit suicidal. And I said to my father, I said, you know, life seems meaningless. People study for the sake of getting a good job, a good car, a good house, and later on, a good holiday, a good something, good something. And it's all about getting something. And I said to my dad, you know, is that it? Because he's a doctor, so he kind of have everything that he wants. So that's why he asked me, are you all right? But what else is there? What else is there? So if today you have the similar, you are at the same place thinking, what am I planning for in my life? Let me urge you to look into the Bible. The Bible has the answer for you. When I look into the Bible and I realize, life is not just like that. It's not about fulfilling the plans. It's not about ticking the boxes. But it's more about there is an eternity life that I'm walking towards to it. And you and I, God has a different plan for you and for me. And we have a different pathway to get to there. So as we read from the last two verses of today's passage, James encouraged us to embrace the greatest plan of all, which is patiently wait for the Lord. He illustrates this point through the analogy of a farmer. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until received the early and the late rain. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Friends, that's the greatest plan that we should plan for. The Lord is near. Come on, wake up. Start to plan for it. Don't just plan for your weekly, you know, monthly or yearly. Let's plan about what are we going to do when the Lord comes. Patience is a virtue that permeates the fabric of a Christian journey. James urges us to patiently wait for the fulfillment of God's promise, just as the farmer patiently awaits the harvest. This waiting is not passive. It involves an active trust in God's timing and a steadfast commitment to His will. So don't get me wrong, you know, when we say, oh, the biggest plan is wait for the Lord, so I'm just going to sit there and do nothing. No, that's not right. Get up and actively do something. Do what God is getting you to do. Share the gospel. Build each other up. Build the community. I don't know. God has a plan for you. You need to pray for it. I can't tell you what to do. If I tell you what to do, it'll be all hard work only. Kay knows that. So you're making plans differently. Let patience be the guiding force. Trusting in Lord's timing. Even when it seems delayed or unclear, that's why we pray. That's why we invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to our hearts. And as we patiently wait, let our heart be strengthened, our faith be deepened, and our lives molded into the vessel ready to fulfill the purpose of God's purpose God has planned for you and me. So what can we do today? What can you do today? I don't know what you're going to do, but I know what I'm going to do. Perhaps you're not sure about what to do or what to plan for the next season, or perhaps that you have already planned to the last day of your day or your life already. Now, it doesn't matter where you are at this moment, but what we should start to do today is to remember that in Christ, we need to start to make our plan differently because Jesus has the plan for you and me. Let's start to invite God into our planning. Let Him be your guide. When I was at Raymond Island Camp, I was really amazed. Well, amazed is probably not a good word, but I was very pleased. I was very encouraged to see Luke and is it Charlie, right? That every morning at on the breakfast table, do you know what they do? They actually open up the Bible, then they read the Bible. They let God to speak to in their heart first thing in the morning. I did ask for Luke's permission to name him. I know many of you guys do that here, but but this is the thing that we should start with our new day. Let God be your guide. Let His word refresh your mind. I'm not very good with keeping time, so please forgive me, but this is the last thing I'm going to say. So as we close today, I want you to start to think about what our plan is all about. Now in Matthew chapter 6, 19, verse 19 to 21 says, Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, Jesus knows our heart. Jesus knows what we long for. Jesus knows what you are planning for. And that is why Jesus is reminding us to turn our eyes away from these consumable things, because they will consume us as well. It is not that we can't have them, don't get me wrong, but it's about not letting our heart focus on these consumable things. Today, God is calling you to rethink, what is your treasure? And where is your treasure? God is calling us to rethink about your planning in your life as well. Is there something that something can be broken or stolen that we are planning for? Or is something that lasts in eternity? So today, if you are still searching for the purpose of your life, or you are still planning your life out, this is the moment. This is the moment that you can invite God, invite the Holy Spirit to come into your heart, come into your life. It is very simple. It's a very, very simple prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, take over my heart. May your plan reveal in my heart. Just remember, God has the master plan for you. And we have to do what is good. And along in our way of planning, let's consider each other into our plan. Not just for the benefits of ourselves, but for all. And lastly, what we can plan, the greatest plan that we should plan, is the coming of the Lord. So I pray that these very simple principles can encourage us to, as we approach our new year planning, and I hope that this will lead us to align our will with God's will. And may our lives be the testament of His great wisdom and grace. Amen.